statement, well, that's a painting of so-and-so, but then you made the judgment that it's not exactly like he is. Must you not have a knowledge of this man who's represented in the painting or the statue, not derived from the painting of the statue? Mm-hmm. So if I go down to the Worcester Art Museum and look at some earlier character, I can't say, well, gee whiz, that's Lord Salisbury, right? But his nose is a little bit shorter, a little bit longer than that, you know? I can't make that judgment because I have no knowledge of Lord Salisbury except the painting I see there. But when, say, Lafayette came back to the United States after Washington had died, right, and he saw the country filled with paintings and statues of Washington, he said, hey, that's not really what he was, but that's pretty good, you know, the statue, I guess, of Washington in the Virginia State House there, that's really, you know, pretty close, right? But he could make those judgments unless he had a knowledge of Washington not mm-hmm. derived from that statue, huh? Mm-hmm. That's the way Socrates tries to argue, that we must have gotten this in a previous life, huh? Okay. But he also touches upon this idea of happiness, huh? See? And I often take the end of Vanity Fair. I don't know if you know that novel by Thackeray. That's his greatest novel, I guess. But it ends up, you know, with the vanity of vanities. But it says, for who in this life, he says, ever gets what he wants? Or he does to satisfy with it. You know? We always seem to be pursuing something that either we don't get, or if we do get it, it doesn't turn out to be the satisfying thing we thought it would be. And so on. And so we seem to be pursuing a perfect happiness, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we judge that this is not something possible in this life, huh? And common people will say that, right? And people in general. You know, nobody's going to be perfectly happy in this world. Mm. You know, it's impossible, right? Okay? So any happiness that we do have in this life, and sometimes, you know, you hear people saying, you know, that was the happiest year of my life, or that was the happiest part of my life, and so on, right? And so some parts of our life certainly are much more happy than other parts, that's for sure. But even those parts that we say were the happiest parts of our life, we realize there's something imperfect about them, right? Well, what is this happiness that we are judging to have been, what, approximated a bit by this part of my life, but have fallen, what? Sure, huh? See? Well, that's just in a kind of confused way that you're knowing about what? God, huh? You have this idea of a perfect good in some way, right? Huh? Okay? But it's kind of what? Confused, right? Romeo thinks it's Juliet, right? Isn't it so, right? Huh? Okay? When I was a little boy, I thought my father a very foolish man. He didn't fill the refrigerator with soda pop, huh? Because with his money, he could have orange soda, grape soda, root beer soda, all the wonderful sodas. He'd drink soda all day long. And be a happy man, right? Didn't know how to be happy. See? So even if I had gotten that, I would not have been happy. But I thought I'd be happy, right? So you're always pursuing happiness in somewhat false happiness, in a way, huh? But that has some resemblance to it, huh? In the great consolation of philosophy, huh? Boethius distinguishes between true happiness, which is really God, ultimately, huh? Mm-hmm. And false happiness. Huh? And he says, well, take up false happiness first because it's more known to us. It's kind of interesting, you know, when Thomas is showing that God is completely happy at the end of the first book of the Summa Cum Gentiles. And even that false happiness, right? And he goes through all the parts of false happiness and shows that even if that was happiness, God would still be supremely happy, right? You know, like what idea of false happiness is fame, right? Huh? And Thomas ends up, you know, well, God has the admiration of any mind that understands him at all. You know, it's marvelous. And actually, Thomas, you know, when he's talking about the end of man in the Summa Carne Gentile, and he's first kind of reaches a conclusion that the end of man is to know God, right? Huh? But then he goes into know God how, you see? And then he talks about this kind of a confused knowledge that everybody seems to have in some way of God, right? And how that is not pretty satisfactory, right? And then he shows that the knowledge that the philosopher has by demonstration, which we'll be getting here as we go along, doesn't completely satisfy us. Why that way it's imperfect, right? And then why even the knowledge we have of God by faith is not sufficient to satisfy us, right? And then eventually he's going to talk about seeing God face to face. This is the knowledge of God that will finally satisfy us. And that's really what the end is, huh? But he seems to be more explicit about there being a kind of a confused, right, knowledge of God. And therefore it's an explicit question, is that satisfactory knowledge of God, right? Is that really the end of man, just to have that kind of confused here? It's a little more explicit. Interesting. Here he's a little more reticent about that being that. Okay, now the second objection is saying, well, if you understand what the word God means, you'll see he has to exist, right? Okay. Now Thomas says, and second, it should be said, and this is not the strongest objection, first, that one who hears the name God may not understand, right, that it signifies something than which nothing greater can be thought, right? Since some believe God to be a body, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. But even given that someone understands by this name God, that it signifies this which is said to be that than which nothing greater can be thought. Huh? Not nevertheless on account of this does it follow that he understands that which is signified by the name to be in what? Reality, right? And that's kind of the phrase used in Latin a lot, and Thomas does. In rerum natura, huh? In the nature of things, literally, but we would say in reality, right? But only that exists in our, what, apprehension, right? Okay? So you're kind of assuming that there is something existing, right? Then which nothing greater can be thought. How do you know there exists such a thing? Now, if there does exist something then which nothing greater can be thought, then it must exist. It would necessarily exist. But how do you know that there is such a thing? You're kind of assuming that, right? Mm-hmm. You can't just assume that because that's what you mean by the word. See that? You see that?
He's basically saying just because it's in your mind doesn't necessarily mean it's outside your mind. It's in reality. That's all.
Well, the guy's trying to say that God is that than which nothing greater can be thought.
Right.
And that which exists outside the mind and not just in the mind is greater than that which exists only in the mind. Therefore, God must exist, right? And Thomas is saying, well, but you're assuming that what the word means, even it does mean that, right?
Yeah.
Which it may not mean for everybody. But even that's the meaning you have in mind, you're assuming that there exists such a thing, right? In which nothing greater can be thought. How do you know that? See?
Okay.
See? You're kind of assuming that there is something in which nothing greater can be thought. Therefore, it must what? Be. Yeah, yeah.
It would essentially come down to this, that, you know, obviously we can understand God the way he is in himself. We can only know him negatively, etc. But I can't understand immediately that there's not an opposition between something existing by his essence. For maybe there's a contradiction implied there, maybe there's not. But I'm assuming that there's not a contradiction between something existing by his essence. That's a proper interpretation of this, isn't it?
Well, in a sense, he's saying you're confusing the meaning of the word, right?
Mm-hmm.
And assuming that what the word means is something that exists, right? That's exactly what you have to prove, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.